kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
So we're going to talk about Don Cherry today. And the importance of our words. But we're going to start with an exercise. Same on both sides. What does this say? You matter, don't give up. Or? Pretty easy to read it both ways. Now tell me what Don Cherry said this week. We're going to crowdsource the quote. I've got the quote. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. But if you know or think you know what Don Cherry said, what did he start with?
You people.
You people. Next.
You love our land of milk and honey.
You love our land of milk and honey. Okay? That's three. One is you people. You love our land of milk and honey. You love our way of life. What was in between that? So, that's where the problem is. Half the articles I read this week included that middle section, and the other half didn't. So you people love our land of milk and honey. That's cool. I'm good with that. We love lands of milk and honey. But the minute you put "you come here" in between those two statements, you target one specific group of people. And it's fascinating the way that language was used this week to either bolster Cherry's defense or take it away. Because depending on where the quote was, how the quote was used, it sometimes had "you come here" in there, and sometimes not. And it easily became apparent what the article was trying to get across depending on the quote that was used. The biggest problem with our Dons, and I'll say both Trump and Cherry, the biggest problem is that they've made careers out of using divisive words and images. Using their words to inflame and incite the rest of us. And we end up, what was fascinating this week, picking sides. Because in the whole second half of what Don Cherry said, I have no problem with. Absolutely, we need to know that our rights and freedoms are dependent upon those who served. That was what I preached last week, if you weren't here. But the minute you divide us, the minute we use language to allow us to be split up into camps, we struggle. Because language is supposed to bring us together. There are multiple stories of language in the Bible. Moses before the burning bush and the revelation of God's name, I am who I am. The story of the Tower of Babel, and the story today, that it's almost like a counter story of this restoration, of this new Babel. We find the disciples gathered for the season, the celebration of Shavuot. It's something that we in the Greek later on have called Pentecost. It was a celebration of the harvest. And so they're all gathered in one spot, and the disciples all of a sudden become equipped with what they need. In that particular case, they needed the language to speak to one another. And we call that the outpouring of the Spirit, attempting to describe the blessing of divine energy, empowering all those who gathered. The Spirit especially is spoken of in the New Testament, and whenever they do so, because the New Testament is written in Greek, they use one particular root word, and that is pneuma. And so pneuma means breath, or wind, or soul, or spirit. We still use that root word of pneuma today, pneumatic drill, right? It uses air or gas under pressure I don't know, is our lift technically a pneumatic lift?
No, it's hydraulic.
It's hydraulic. Oh, never mind. All right. So we use that word of spirit or soul, talking about power and using that power to our advantage. In that time, in the Greek time, in the time when these words were being written down, they knew that God was as close as the nitrogen and oxygen and argon gases flowing into us and back out again. They knew that the Spirit was as close as our breath, enlivening our bodies, enabling us to thrive. It's one of the reasons why one of the names of God is Yahweh. Have you heard that term before? So Yahweh is, quick Bible study to prove that I went to seminary. In the Old Testament, often when God is referred to, they use, and you'll find this in most versions, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. And that name, Lord, points to the biblical Hebrew of YHWH. So YHWH was the Hebrew, was the Israelite way of saying God's name without actually saying it. If you had to pronounce YHWH, you wouldn't have a word. There's no vowels. So down the line, they discerned a way of talking about God without using God's name, and they used the word Yahweh. Y-A-H-E. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Okay? Puts it all together. But what's amazing about that word, and maybe you already noticed it, when we were praying with the children, have you ever taken a deep breath and then out again? You almost make the sound of God's name. Yahweh. It's as if your very breath, the thing you did the very first moment you appeared on this earth, and the very last moment and last breath you will ever take, you will breathe God's name. The blessing of God is as close as our breath. And there is power in that. Power that we've seen over the last 9 weeks as we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. These fruits can be gifts that we don't feel particularly gifted at, because they remind us that our life, our love, our sense of self is rooted in God, that our source is in God. And we are dependent upon that life as much as we are breath in our lungs. When that life grows in us, we talk about that life as fruit, things that not just feed our souls, but become something that we can share with others. These fruit have the power and potential to create community and bind us together, much like our own breathing. But in all of this fruitful discussion, I assumed that all of us have a little bit of this. But you know what? I think possibly what's more helpful is what I started with. Sometimes we're more aware of what's missing in our lives. And so I invited you to consider that at the beginning of service and passed around the post-it notes to talk about what we feel we're missing. And so if you're missing or feeling that missing of love, you may have taken already a red post-it note. If you feel that you're missing some joy in your life, a bright pink post-it note. We talked about peace being that which comes after the rain, and so a light blue aqua. Peace, patience, the deep blue calm of the ocean. the patience that is in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All right, I'll just sing to myself for a little bit. Kindness, we talked about in terms of the yellow lemon. There we go. Goodness, about God's goodness as the harvest and the blessing that comes. Faithfulness, being rooted in the greening of the earth, the growing of the earth. Gentleness, the purple, the royalty, and self-control, the pink. So you hopefully will have received a basket passed to you. You've hopefully thought about what you are missing in your life. As we sing, I will pass a bowl. Drop the post-it note in there. We'll try to get it done in the hymn. If it doesn't happen in the hymn, this is very clearly different from the offering plate. Don't put your offering here or it's mine. But if we could put the post-it notes in here during the hymn as we sing number 198 together. And then we will use these post-it notes to offer prayers as we move into our prayers following our offering.